Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. Today's Thursday, the day we try to apply and live out what we've been learning. But today's going to be a bit different because this week we are talking about three stories of people who met some of the early Christians, early followers of Jesus, and reacted to their good news about Jesus very differently. We saw the story of Lydia, a wealthy woman who responded really positively, being baptized herself, and leading the rest of her household, servants and family, to be baptized as well. Must have transformed her life. It certainly transformed how she used her resources now to advance God's kingdom rather than just advance her own kingdom. Yesterday, we saw the story of Paul and Silas sharing good news about Jesus Christ with the world, and especially with a vulnerable slave girl who was being used because she had an evil spirit in her that allowed her to tell fortunes, and people were using her as a fortune teller and making money off of her. And when they cast that demon out of her and she could no longer do that, she was freed. This was great news for her, but those who owned her and were making money off her were extremely upset and had Paul and Silas thrown in jail. We left off yesterday with them stuck in jail. It looks like they have no hope. But today we'll see what happened next when they encountered a middleman, the jailer. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported those words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and take us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them. And they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. So in this jailer, we can probably identify a guy who's kind of stuck in life. He's a middleman. He works for Roman authorities. He works for powerful Roman rulers. And he's also not the bottom of the food chain. He's probably got some people who work for him. He's got a position with some authority over prisoners and over other guards. People who bring in the lights, obviously, work for him. But he's also not that powerful in his culture. So he's a middleman. He's kind of stuck in the middle. And, you know, being stuck in the middle isn't always a nice place to be. He knows he's got a decent place in life, but if he ever fails to do his job, he fails to keep that jail shut down, he fails to keep those prisoners, he's in serious trouble because the Romans are extremely oppressive, extremely violent rulers to work under. And here he has a really bad day. There's an earthquake. The doors of the prison open up. He figures that the prisoners have all escaped, and he is so afraid of his Roman overlords that he figures he just needs to kill himself because they're going to do worse. They'll torture him first before they kill him anyway. So he may as well just kill himself. It'll be all over because he's no longer a middleman. Now he's going to be dirt to the Romans. He's stuck between a rock and a hard place. It looks like he has nowhere to go in life but to just end it here. And Paul and Silas call out just in time and they say, "Don't do it. We're all here." And he realizes there's a third way. Just when it looks like the politics of the world he lives in have left him with no choice, he realizes there is a third way, the way of Jesus. And that's what Paul and Silas represent. They call out, they say, "There is another option. You don't need to kill yourself. There's another kind of world than the one you're living in. It's called the kingdom of God. And it's the kind of world where prisoners who can escape don't. It's the kind of world where people in prison sing songs and pray and are happy about it. This is a very different kind of a world, and you can live in this world too. They present the kingdom of God to this jailer. And now he's got a choice in life. He doesn't just have to kill himself because he's done a poor job keeping the prisoners at bay. Now he can live for a different Lord. He can live for a different ruler, not Caesar, but the God of Israel, who's now inviting people of all nations to become part of his kingdom through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. Like Lydia, this jailer chooses life. He decides to live in God's kingdom and to show it publicly by being baptized himself and having his whole household baptized. This isn't something he's going to keep to himself. It's something he's going to share with the most important people in his life. He's a changed man who's willing to share it with others. That's amazing, especially in an oppressive culture. Like Lydia, he welcomes the disciples into his home as well. He invites Paul and Silas into his home. Prisoners, who he's supposed to be guarding, are now in his home. This should be extremely dangerous for him. You'd think that the magistrates and rulers who threw Paul and Silas in jail would be extremely angry, and this man has just put himself at a huge amount of risk. Seems like he's willing to do it, and amazingly it works out, because the magistrates send for Paul and Silas to be sent away. Maybe they've heard about what happened at the jail. Maybe they're scared that these men are powerful and can somehow influence, through magic or something, earthquakes and such. That's certainly what these Roman authorities would have believed, would be that there were gods over all these things, and maybe they should be afraid of these men. Or maybe they were truly realizing these men were connected to the one true God, and that also made them afraid that it would upset the status quo. There are all sorts of politics at work here. Roman rulers just want to get rid of Paul and Silas, get them out of town, and that's what they ask the jailer to do, is just get rid of these guys. They're upsetting the way things are. They're upsetting, obviously our industry of using vulnerable people, of slavery, especially in fortune telling. They're upsetting the status quo. Get them out of here. And Paul and Silas have some tricks up their sleeve. See, this is where Paul and Silas reveal that they're actually Roman citizens, and they should never have been thrown into prison without a proper trial. They even say, "We are uncondemned, and yet we are in jail." And they force the authorities to apologize for that. They think they can use and abuse Christians because they're proclaiming the good news of Jesus and it's upsetting the status quo. But in fact, even Roman citizens, who have a great deal of power in that society, and a great deal of influence, are believing this and proclaiming this. And it actually forces those magistrates to apologize for not following due process. So this kind of summarizes our three reactions we've seen so far to the good news about Jesus. Lydia accepts it with open arms. The slave owners reject it wholeheartedly. They are angered by it. It upsets the status quo. And then we finally see the middleman, the one stuck between both poles. He's probably having a hard time deciding which way to go on this, and that's why I think he's most like us. Many of us, when we first learn about the message of Jesus Christ, find ourselves kind of stuck, and we're not quite sure. If I accept this good news, how will it change me? Will it change me in ways that I want, that I'm prepared to accept the consequences of? Or am I better to just avoid this and leave my life the way it is, imperfect as it is? Maybe I should just stay away from this Jesus. I met someone once who really reminded me of this story, because he was somebody who'd recently moved to the city of Toronto, found himself working in a job that seemed fine for a while, but then when he started coming to church and learning about following Jesus, he realized that his job was forcing him to lie regularly, and his boss was actually putting him at risk by asking him to lie and forge documents. The problem was, his boss was one of the only people he knew in the city. This was the only job he'd ever gotten after applying for many, and he felt like he just couldn't leave. He didn't have any options. Following Jesus would mean leaving the one thing he had, the one thing that was putting food on the table, and yet he somehow couldn't walk away from Jesus. He just felt stuck. He didn't know how he could follow Jesus and put food on the table. Well, we started to talk about there being a third way. There were more options than he realized. We were able to get him a temporary job that put food on the table and got him out of that dangerous situation that could one day put him in jail. So we got him out, and as he spent time away from that boss who had been using and abusing him, he started to realize there was more to life than what he had been presented by that boss. He had more options than he realized. He could make his own way. He didn't have to be used and abused by that person. His life is quite different now. He's living a much better life. After realizing there was a third way in life, that the kingdom of God opened up all kinds of new doors to him, that he could learn to follow Jesus and put food on the table. He'd been freed because he encountered Jesus. Maybe you feel stuck in life. I know I do sometimes. We can feel stuck between debt and income. We can feel stuck between Toronto and rural Ontario, where we feel we have to live in a certain place to have a certain job, to have a certain lifestyle. And we can't change anything, because if we change one thing, it all falls apart, financially or relationally or otherwise. We can feel stuck between kids and work. We can feel stuck between home and office. We can feel stuck in life, not sure if there's a third way. Well, the kingdom of God is our third way in life. It shows us that there is an alternative to this world that revolves around money and politics and influence and power. God's kingdom shows us that there is another way, that there is a whole other world out there that works on a very different economy, that works on very different power structures, where influence looks different. There is a different world, and it's called God's kingdom, and we can join it at any time, and it will transform how we relate to the rest of this world. It'll transform our work, it'll transform our families, our relationships, it'll transform every aspect of our lives. We don't need to transform in order to experience it, but rather when we experience it, it will transform us. Jesus once said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things in life will be added unto you." He wasn't saying we'd be wealthy and powerful and all that, but that all those things we tend to worry about and feel stuck between in life will sort out once we have the most important thing in life figured out, a relationship with God. And so in the same way, if you feel stuck in life, the kingdom of God is a third way. It's a new way through life. Not just, the only options are not the poles that you feel stuck between. Seek first God's kingdom, and all these other things will be added to you. Well, here's a challenge I want you to take on today and hopefully discuss with your team, who you're meeting with regularly, to discuss our challenges. Write down a few of the rocks and hard places you feel stuck between. Pray that God will show you a third way and you'll have the courage to follow it. Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.